Let's start with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you. We're here to pray. And we thank you that you hear us and that you invite us. And may our prayers be right, Lord, as we see again today in the Psalms a mixture of doing the wrong thing and then asking you to, in a way, bless it anyway. And it just doesn't work. And so, Lord, help us to pray aright and to live aright. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last time we had the prayer in Psalm 79 for Israel destroyed by the enemies. And I don't know if I emphasized correctly or not, but why was Israel destroyed by the enemies? Because they turned their back on God. But yet you look at some of these Psalms, it looks like God's the problem. God, why? And today we'll see it again. But today we have a prayer following that. In fact, it follows exactly after the last verse in 79, which was, "So we, your people and sheep of your pasture, will give you thanks forever. We will show forth your praise to all generations." Well, that's a great way to end. Now we start the next one today. "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who dwell between the cherubim, shine forth." And then it goes on from there. So it starts out really well, but now we'll see some things in here that I'll comment on, whether I'm right or not, that you can decide what the scripture says. But we do have three different times in here, them getting back to the basics, verse 3, verse 7, and verse 19, that all say the same thing. Restore us. The first one is restore us, O God. The second one is restore us, O God of hosts. The third one is restore us, O Lord God of hosts. And so kind of the intensity building a little bit. But I think the title of this psalm in my Bible is pretty accurate, Prayer for Israel's Restoration. And how we need his restoring in our lives, don't we? Because we tend to break things down. And so we need them restored. So my mind went to songs with restore in it. And there's not an awful lot of hymns with restore in them. So that I did find a couple of praise songs here that you know. The first one is "Create in Me a Clean Heart." And the chorus basically is "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." We're going to sing that as we begin here.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit.
The joy of thy salvation.
All right. One of the things, of course, as you well know, one of the blessings we have of being in the New Covenant, that phrase, take not your Holy Spirit from me, cannot apply to a believer, but it did apply in the days of David because the Spirit was given and taken away, so to speak. But now we all have the Spirit in us when we are a believer, and therefore it can't be taken away from you. So Psalm 80, give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who dwell between the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Stir up your strength and come and save us. So that's the beginning couple of verses there. Notice, it's kind of interesting. You know, when the tribes of the children of Israel were laid out, as you read about it in Numbers, for example, and you plot them out on how many were in each tribe, it's a cross. If you look down from a helicopter, it's exactly the figure of a cross. Now, the bottom one the one that follows the tabernacle, are the tribes of Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. So it's kind of interesting that the psalmist would point that out here to me, and he's talking about going before those three tribes as they would leave from wherever they were traveling. They would be following, those are the three tribes in that group, which would follow the tabernacle. And then we go to verse 3, and we have this first request here that I mentioned earlier. Restore us, O God. Cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. Of course, that has a hint of the Aaronic benediction in it. Make your face to shine upon us. And here he's saying the same thing. Really, cause your face to shine. That means he's not looking away, I think, because of your disobedience. He's not got you in the doghouse, so to speak, with chastisement in a way. Of course, that doesn't mean he's not looking at you. But cause your face to shine, meaning as he looks at you, he is just overjoyed, right? So there are times when he looks at me, I imagine there's some joy, and then there's some times, and I imagine you go, what? But cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. And so, again, Old Testament theology here. We aren't saved because we're doing good things. We're saved because we know who he is and what he has done on the cross. O Lord God of hosts, verse 4, how long will you be angry against the prayer of your people? You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in great measure. You have made us a strife to our neighbors, and our enemies laugh. Father, lift up Justin to you, and so good to have him come in for prayer. He needs prayer, and you know exactly what that means. And would you bless him and guide him and strengthen him? And would you find him just turning totally to you, Lord, seeking your face, seeking your heart as only you can. Bless him by your Spirit. Thank you for him. And give him peace now, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Give him peace. Thank you, Justin, for coming. Father, we do pray for each one of us that we would just turn to you and sense your peace and your presence and your joy. Lord, help us to get our eyes off of ourselves and onto you, Lord. And there are times when it's almost impossible because of pain or because of different things. But in the name of Jesus, we come against any forces that are present. In the name of Jesus, we say, Satan, be gone. And we say, workers of iniquity, be gone. That is not you, Lord, that's causing the difficulties. That's not you causing the extreme emotions, Lord. It is really the other side. You want peace and joy in our hearts. And Lord, the price that you paid everything that takes care of the evil side. And yet you've left us here in these mortal bodies that have the emotions and the feelings and the sensations, and we thank you for that. I thank you for the conviction that we see in different times, and here in Justin, seeing the conviction that's going on. And so, Lord, we know you hear his cry. We know when you came into the room, Lord, you would always go to the person of the greatest need. And we all have needs this morning. But we do see Justin verbalizing it. So, Lord, bless him and guide him now and give him peace. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. So we see here in verse 3, restore us, O God. And as I mentioned, the first time it's O God, the next time it'll be O God of hosts, and then the last time, O God, Lord God, Jehovah, Elohim of hosts, Sabaoth. In verse 4, we see the true heart of the prayer, but we also see there's some things wrong here with what is going on. O Lord God of hosts, I love that. Then how long will you be angry against the prayer of your people? So when you see that kind of a prayer, when you pray that kind of a prayer, you know, remember to ask why. Why is God angry at your prayers? Well, James tells us it's because you ask amiss or you ask to pleasure yourself, right? God's not going to be angry at prayers that are seeking him, ever. So something's wrong with their prayer, or something is wrong with their behavior, which is probably the problem with Israel. Why last time were they destroyed by their enemies? Because they turned their back against God in idolatry and immorality over and over and over and over again. And we'll get a touch of that down here in this psalm as well. But here, how long will you be angry against the prayers of your people? Well, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, as we know so well, he tells us, humble yourself, fall on your face, pray to me, and turn from your wicked ways, and I will heal your land. So it's all done if you do what he says, and if you don't do what he says, he's not going to do it. I don't care how many times you say, Lord, I want to continue in sin, but bless me. It's not going to work that way. How long will you be angry against the prayer of your people? You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in great measure. The chastisement going on. You have made us a strife. You've made us a strife to our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. And then I can think of Israel here. I can think of the United States here too. And not to the extent yet. We haven't been taken into captivity yet. But the path we're on that's coming, you know, the judgment's coming. We know that. And then he goes back again, verse 7. Restore us, O God of hosts, cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. So he keeps coming back to the right thing. Now, verse 8, you have brought, he's talking now about the blessings, you have brought a vine out of Egypt. You've cast out the nations and planted it. Joshua time and so forth. You prepared room for it and caused it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with its shadow, and the mighty cedars with its boughs. She sent out her boughs to the sea, to the Mediterranean Sea, and to the branches of the Euphrates River. So we know how all of that was fulfilled that God promised to do for them. But now we turn back again to looking at ourselves. Why have you broken down our hedges? Why do we have enemies coming into this nation? Why did 9/11 happen? Why have you broken down your hedges so that all who pass by may pluck her fruit? I think of the open borders we have right now. My. The boar out of the woods uproots it, and the wild beast of the field devours it. How true that is. Here's a good request now. Verse 14, return, we beseech you, O God of hosts. Great prayer. Return to us as a nation and return to us individually as need be. O God of hosts, look down from heaven and see and visit this vine, visit this nation, and the vineyard which your right hand has planted and the branch you've made strong for yourself. It is burned with fire. It is cut down. They perish at the rebuke of your countenance. Let your hand be upon the man of your right hand. I like this one, so messianic here, upon the Son of Man, whom you made strong for yourself. Jesus referred to that title for himself more than any other. I think he referred to himself as the Son of Man over 60 times in the Bible. So the Son of Man, most people see the messianic thing there, upon the Son of Man whom you made strong for yourself. But it's so amazing, even to this day, Israel has not accepted Jesus as the Son of Man, or any son, has he? Isn't that amazing? How they're steeped in the scriptures, and they could even quote the scriptures, but yet they don't believe in Messiah has come yet. Then we will turn back from you. Revive us, and we will call upon your name. I wonder, is that the right order? I don't know. Maybe it is. I don't think so. I think if we call upon his name and we do what he wants, he will revive us. But either way, I think either way it'll work, I guess. Anyway, this says, revive us, and we will call upon your name, and then restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. So we can all agree on that, can't we? Well, Father, we thank you for this psalm, and it shows how the swings occur with, we are so disobedient some of the time, too much of the time, I guess. And yet you want to bless us, and you are so patient, and you keep loving us, and you always love us. Lord, help us to walk the right way. That is the best way. And not walking your way is always going to lead to chaos and confusion and pain, suffering. So, Lord, restore us. Restore us, O Lord of hosts. Cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. Father, we have some time now to pray, and would you just lead us by your Spirit, and we could just pray as led by the Spirit as a group, but praying one at a time initially. So guide us now in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Let's just join our hearts together, and on this great are you, Lord.
You give life. You are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. It's your breath.
Give life.
You give life. and all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing.
Father, we thank you for drawing us into one accord here. And as we see hands raised and crying out to you, Lord, and may that be always our cry, great are you, Lord, great are you. And so, Lord, anybody here right now who needs that closer walk with you, really, just that touch of you, even at this moment, you have said, if you seek me, you will find me. When you search for me with all your heart, you have said, whoever seeks me will not be turned away. And so, Lord, we know it's the cross. We know it's the recognition that you have paid it all. You have made that one-time sacrifice 2,000 years ago for all time. All the sins of the world, past, present, and future, are covered by your blood. We thank you for that. But yet, we must receive that gift.
Yes. Yes.
And so, Lord, we pray for all those of the 8 billion people today, really, who don't know you at all and haven't received that gift. And so, Lord, any in here who have not really, aren't sure that they received that gift, who just cry out to you, Lord, be my Savior, be my Lord, I am yours, I surrender to you. I want to walk in accordance with your will, in accordance with your way, as led by your Spirit. Oh, help me to be led by your Spirit and not to go my own way. And Lord, the Bible is filled with Israel going its own way. And as that would result then in you turning against them in a way, or them turning against themselves really in a way with judgment and with just terrible things happening and so many lives lost and all in the captivity and all that stuff. But that wasn't your way. That's the other way. That's the destroyer's way. So whoever's here today who is just being attacked viciously by the other side, we don't need to heed that voice because that's not stronger than the voice of the Spirit. And you are powerful. Great are you, Lord. Not greater is your enemy. Great are you. And so, Lord, clad us, put the weapons on us, the armor and so forth of the Spirit of God and saying, yes, I'm trusting in you, and I know you're stronger than any of those voices. And Lord, I just pray that anybody who is being mercilessly attacked right now spiritually would just rebuke that in the name of Jesus. You tell us in your word that Satan must yield to that name, must yield. There's no question. And so, Lord, we have that power of you if we call upon it and if we really are living that way, Lord. But we have to surrender, don't we? And we have to be knowing on an ongoing basis who you are and who we are. We are not God. You are God. And so, Lord, help us. Help us. I thank you for this precious morning and bringing each one in here. And we've heard Crystal asking for prayer, and we've heard Justin asking for prayer, and others haven't even asked, but we know the prayer needs are there. And we just thank you. We can bring those things before you. You know them all. We don't have to rehearse them to you. We don't have to tell you the details of our problem, because you have faced it all before. And you know everything. Your foreknowledge is you know everything that's ever going to happen to us. And you want only the best for us, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, help us to stay out of the snares of those things. We know we are warned. Don't go there. And yet we go there. And then we see all kinds of consequences as a result of that. David sinned. And yes, he was forgiven. And yet he cried out to you. But there were consequences of his sin that haunted him the rest of his life, Lord. The consequences are there because of sin. And yet you have promised to forgive us our sin. And that verse already quoted me before today. If we confess our sins. If we confess. Really. Not just say, oh, I did wrong. But turn from it. Repent. Turn from it. Peter would say to the church on the day of Pentecost, the very first thing, repent. Repent. Turn. And so, Lord, you have made the provision. So thank you for meeting us here this morning, Lord. And help us to pray for one another. And help us to pray for those who aren't here. Many, we have a few people here, and it's great. But there are millions, billions outside here that are not praying right now and are in all kinds of different things. And so, Lord, we know that. You know that. So I just thank you. Father, as we have the opportunity here to pray for Justin, with Justin, and Lord, even touching him, and you have said, pray to the Lord and call for the elders of the church. We need healing. And so, Lord, healing in this case, emotional or financially or physically or whatever, Lord, spiritually, we lift up Justin to you. We give him to you and thank you for him. Thank you for his mentioning your name over and over again and crying out to you. And yes, great are you, Lord. And if there's questions in Justin's mind, whether he's saved or not, take those away by surrendering to you and knowing, because of what you have done, the power of your blood is strong enough to cover anything that could possibly be there. And if we cry out to you and say, come into my heart, Lord, I want to be yours. I want to surrender to you, and we really mean it, and it's done deal. And so, Lord, may he not have to ask, as the psalmist would, take not your Holy Spirit from me. Because it's not possible when we are into your family for us to lose that, Lord. It can't be taken away from us. So bless our brother today, Lord. Thank you for bringing him here. Guide him and direct him and straighten his path if it needs straightening. All of our paths need to be straightened. So bless him now in Jesus' name. Amen.